This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie?
A shell of silliness and laughter on the outside, the brilliant Robin Williams was at his core deeply vulnerable. It's still hard to believe he's dead, even though it's been nearly a year since he killed himself. The movie Boulevard, shot before he died, shows a different kind of shell. Williams plays a middle-class man in his 60s with a stable marriage and an even more stable desk job. When Williams meets a young male prostitute, we get to see a different kind of vulnerability.
How long do we have here?
An hour. No, it's up to you.
I used to like being in motels when I was a little kid. It was kind of neat just being somewhere else. It was fun, you know, just being somewhere else.
This idea of being somewhere else becomes the metaphor for a sensitive coming-out story. Ditto Montiel directed the film Boulevard, and as he explained to Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer of the Movie Date team, directing Williams was like having a living archive of comedy and American manners at his disposal. Montiel says it feels sadly appropriate for a final role.
Every generation has grown up with a different Robin Williams. It's kind of a remarkable span. It's, you know, like you say, he's Mork, he's Jumanji, he's Academy Award winning, you know, actor, host. It's kind of incredible, you know, and so... You know, when you make a little movie, you have a super wish list, and then you have a wish list, and you have a real list, and you have a real list, you know. And, you know, that's like a dream. For me, he was perfect for the role in so many ways.
And this character's different from a lot of the other characters some of us know him to be. He's not a huge presence. He's not a big personality. He's someone who's living a mostly pleasant, mostly quiet life. But underneath the surface, there's a lot of pain and turmoil there. And some people have said that in real life, that's the kind of man that Robin Williams was. Did you see that in him?
You know, it's hard to tell, you know, because movies are such a weird, it's like life really fast, you know. You meet someone on a Monday and Tuesday you're trying to tap into anything you can so you can make a 40-year relationship feel real, you know. And then you go through all these emotions and 3 months later you say, see you later, cut, and then you know, so it's a very strange circus life, you know, weird world. But so it's hard to tell the difference because, you know, you're talking about someone and every once in a while, like I would say to Robin, you're like, hey, man, you know, like this is a big deal. You're walking in here. You're totally screwed up. And he'd be like, yeah, I've done the research, you know, a very Robin way, you know. So of course, there's a little piece, I'm sure, of course, in any artist's work, you know, so...
You've had Robin Williams is the latest in a pretty long string of rather major stars that you've had in your films. I mean, a short list would be Robert Downey Jr., Channing Tatum twice, Dwayne Johnson, Al Pacino. Why do you think these stars say yes to you? You know, we are talking about smaller budget films here.
Yeah, tiny ones, you know. I don't know. You know, I mean, it ain't the money. I promise you that, you know. I mean... It would be nice to go out and make the next big blockbuster. No one's calling me, you know. So you try to find things that touch you for whatever reason they do, and then maybe that's the same thing that touches them, you know. Different actors, and then you know I like to work with actors. I'm a real fan of it, and like the Woody Allen School of Film, I love it. You know, when I see people in his movies, I think you're probably pretty close to that guy, you know. So I try to hopefully work with the actors in a collaborative way, you know. David Mamet is the king, but I don't have that kind of talent. So I'll just sort of try to find a way to let's all put a little bit of ourselves into these guys and make them feel real. And maybe people like that, you know.
Now, speaking of collaboration, you actually collaborated with Robin Williams in the final cut of this film. Notably, there's one scene, a very strong scene in this film that you at one point didn't want in the film. And Robin Williams said, let's put that scene back in. And that was in the nursing home, his character with his dad. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love the scene, and I think he's just great in it.
Something happened that summer, Dad. At first, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't want to. But I knew that all the wishing and praying in the world couldn't change the fact that I was gay.
It was one of those things where I was like, I didn't know that character could even say the word gay. I just thought it was so buried. But I thought we worked on that scene a lot, you know. And I mean, it was one take, you know, two cameras, one of our only two camera shots. And I knew the movie could live with or without it. And he, in the end, wanted it in, and he was right. And you know, you work with these people, you know. There's a scene when you talk about collaborating with, you know, him and Kathy Baker, who's just as great, you know. They lie in bed together, and they have this conversation, and at the end they say, I love you, to each other. And it wasn't in the script, and we rehearsed it and the night before. And you know, I was talking, I was like, maybe you should just tell her you love her, you know. And he said, yeah, let's give it a shot. And then he said, I love you. And then she said, I love you back. And initially the producers freaked out, and they're like, why are they saying I love you? And I said, because they do, you know. And Robin was like, he was adamant from the beginning being involved in the film that, and I was on board entirely. This was, in a lot of ways, more the story of letting go than coming out. Of course, it's a huge deal. He suppressed being a gay man. I can't pretend that that's not a part of it. But to me, it was just a part of it. I thought it was a loving relationship with Kathy Baker, you know. And Kathy would say all the time to me, she'd look at me and she'd say, we had an unwritten agreement and he's breaking it. And I thought that was an interesting way of thinking of the film. You know, they did love each other, but now we have to let go. And the complications of their age making it not a simple coming out at 23, like, married the wrong girl at 18, now I'm going to hit Chelsea, you know. Slightly different story here, you know.
So despite the serious tone of the movie, was Robin Williams funny on set? Did you see that side of him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a weird one. You know, he is Robin Williams, and he is the guy from David Letterman, you know, that jumps off the chair. And that was kind of why I thought, how interesting that he can't do that in this movie, like, no matter what. But, you know, there are times, you know, you're out at 2 a.m. with a cast of crazies on the street, and, you know, he'd start performing as he does. And then, as you'd expect, he'd come over. And once in a while, like he had, when Bob Odenkirk first showed up, you know, they're two great comedians and they had never met. So it immediately becomes this big comedic scene. So Robin would come over after they do some, you know, mess around for a minute, and he'd be like, where was I last night? And I'd be like, and, you know, in the movie, and I'd be like, in a motel with this guy, and you totally lied to your wife. He's like, okay, no more joking, you know. So it was, you know, he was in check of himself at all times as well.
Ditto Montiel, thank you so much for joining us today. The new film is called Boulevard.
Cool, thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.